Well, my prayer is that you've been getting something out of these overview of the New Testament. We started it right around the first of the year, and we're already up to 1 John, or what we call Little John. Now, John is the disciple the Bible talked about that Jesus loved. Of course, he loved all of them, but particularly John was real special to Jesus. And so we have 1 John, 2 John, we have the Gospel of John, and of course, 3 John. And he's also the same John that received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this little letter in 1 John is a letter to reassure the Christians that their faith is real and to encourage them to live as children of the living God through Christ. And he challenged them not to let obstacles get in the way of their faith, like false teaching, we talked about that last week, to draw them away from their fellowship with God and with other believers. It's real important that we get together and encourage one another in the faith. We have a biblical mandate to do that. And that's why we go to church, to encourage one another. We need one another. We need the fellowship of other believers. Now, John wrote this letter shortly before he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, because of his faith. John is often called the Apostle of Love, and his deep love for believers is seen throughout this letter. Is there anyone who does not long for a strong family relationship? Especially during these days, we celebrated Mother's Day not long ago, now we're celebrating Father's Day this Sunday. This book is about a wider family in which Christians are a part. A family that creates and maintains strong sense of togetherness. John talks about the family of God, the universal, worldwide circle of Christians who are bound together in a fellowship or a family, and he refers to it as being glued together through a relationship with Jesus Christ. John's now an old man, and some say he lived to be the ripe old age of 100. Even in today, it's really getting up there in years, but highly unusual in the days when John was here on earth. It's obviously that God had a special blessing for John and a ministry to give him those many years. Tradition says that John wrote this letter to the people at Ephesus in the closing years of his life. He was an old man of wisdom and writing as little children. I think that's pretty cool. He called us little children, and with counsel and encouragement. Now, false teachers have permeated the church, unsettling Christians with their heresies that denied the Messiah, God's only Son, who truly Jesus was. He was Jesus of Nazareth. And the reason that because of the flesh and evil that God's Son would not have to come in the flesh. People thought about that. No way! That's one of the false teachings. There ain't no way that this man in the flesh is God's Son. Well, this struck at the very heart of the doctrine of the Incarnation and ultimately at the redemptive death of Christ on the cross. Robbed of those doctrines, the core of Christianity was in question, leaving doubts and confusions among those who listen. John begins this little book with a strong affirmation that he who was from the beginning, the Son of God, became flesh and was known as Jesus. John and his fellow apostles saw him, they touched him, they walked with him, they ate with him, they knew Jesus Christ, and they also knew that he truly was the Son of God. It was he who died on the cross for the sins of the world. John then moves to the heartbeat of the book. He said we can have fellowship with God and with his people, and we can be a part of the family of God. We join God's family through the confession of sin and the receiving of the grace and the love of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Then we are in Christ, part of God's family, and we can fellowship with God and his people. The test of that fellowship is very simple. Do we love each other? Boy, it sure don't look like it looking around this old world today. But we need to learn to love each other, to respect one another. Do we believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son incarnate and confess that the truth of that to others? Do we witness? Does our heart and conscience confirm that relationship with God? This is a challenging question. Does God's Spirit live within us? Now, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know that God's Spirit lives within me, and He does live within you if you want Him to. You got to just say, God, come into my life and be Lord over it, and you will have God's Spirit within you. So today, we all have the same longing to be a part of a strong family with bonds of love among its believers and members of the body of Christ. Now, we know that not all Christians have the privilege of being part of an earthly family with those love bonds. We celebrate Father's Day today, and we know that's not always possible, but everyone can be a part of God's family, bonded to Him and to all His people worldwide. We are the body of Christ, and we need to celebrate that in Jesus' precious name. You know, one of the scriptures that really kind of blessed my heart a little bit, and it was a song that I did my walk to Emmaus back in 1988, somewhere along in there, a long time ago, down at Leesburg. And there was a little song that we sang that's been in my spirit forever. You know how I love to sing to you. And it's a song that was in my spirit, and I often wondered. I knew it was a scripture song and had to be. Let me sing it to you. Now, I probably won't be in tune. And when we do church this Sunday in the church, I'm going to get Travis to play it, and maybe we can learn it. But it's a catchy little song that comes right from the book of 1 John. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God. That we should be called the children of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. And it comes from chapter 3 in the little book of 1 John. Now, this is the New Living Translation, so it's a little different, but you can find those words that I just sang in some of the other translations. But the New Living Translation says this: See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children, and we really are. But the people who belong to this world don't know God, so they don't understand that we are children of God. Oh, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. And in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, start at 13. John's talking. He said, I write this to you who believe in the Son of God, so that you may know and have eternal life. And we can be confident that He will listen to us whenever we ask Him for anything in line, hear this church, in line with His will. And if we know He is listening when we make our request, we can be sure that He will give us what we ask for. You know, sometimes we as Christians, and I'm guilty too at times, treat prayer just like it was a magic formula sometimes. Whatever you want, you know, new car, good-looking spouse, good-looking physique, you know, just about any kind of things. They say, well, just pray it in Jesus' name and you'll get it. Well, this passage in 1 John teaches that prayer is not magic, nor is it primarily a vehicle for getting what we want. An important part of prayer is discerning God's will and aligning ourselves with it. So when we pray for that which we know pleases God, we can pray with confidence that God the Father will hear us in Jesus' precious name. Well, may God add the blessings to the little overview of the book of 1 John, and pray that you have a wonderful and blessed day. We do the online services, but we're also back in church every Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, for person-to-person worship. God bless you.